Okay, morning.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Of today, Bezrat Hashem, the paragraph, the chapter dealing, dealing with Mesiras Nefesh. We saw the Ikiya sort of Mesiras Nefesh, and we saw the Maisa, how practically it can happen today. Just one second. How we have today many instances, not mamash mesiras nefesh, al dvarim sheze doime korov, and even in some aspects feels like mesiras nefesh, embarrassment sometimes, or person scared, whatever he does things that could be come close to chilul Shabbat, but he doesn't because of the of this aspect of mesiras nefesh, and that a person has to recognize and has to value that those moments of mesiras nefesh are precious. It just ends off here with a maisa. We've seen this maisa before. We saw this similar, the maisa brought down 99% the same in Baruch Israel. It brings this maisa from the Yotzei Svat. This is from the during the Inquisitia. He brings down Bekitzer. That's a bit longer, but there was a. There was someone was fleeing from the Inquisition. They were on a boat, and on that boat, there was a plague. A plague broke out on the boat, and the owner, the captain of the ship, took the ship and he put everybody out on a deserted piece of land. There was no yishuv there, or whatever, and he left everybody there. And there, many many people died from the plague, from starvation. They decided they have to find a civilization, they have to find somewhere to get food, whatever. They're not going to sit there on the beach and die. There was a Jew amongst them. He was him and his wife and two kids. So first of all, they fled from Spain, from the Inquisition. I remember the story correctly. He was a very choshev yid, and he was, you know, pretending to do whatever they did there, and eventually he got found out, so he had to flee. That's what this boat was, I think, if I remember correctly. They were fleeing from Spain, and this the plague either broke out before they left or on the boat. So this was him, this yid, who was a very wealthy yid, who was now penniless. His wife and his two sons, and they decided they have to go find some yishuv. She couldn't have the koyach, the wife, and she died on the as they set out to go look for things. He was having to carry these two young kids. And his two sons died as well, Rahman al-Islan, and he was very, very shvach. Imagine, it's a broken man. He lost his status, lost his wealth. Now he's lost his family, he's lost his children, he's lost his wife. He's in a matzav of and terrible, terrible matzav. He gets up on his feet and he says, Ribbono Olamim, har bata oise she'azov dati. You're doing a lot to try and get me to give up my religion. I'm a yid and I'll be a yid, and there's nothing you can bring upon me to change this. He picked up himself and he strengthened himself and he went to go find somewhere to get food, to go find some kind of civilization. But that's Jews through the generations. But the words he used, all that I have is yours, Hashem. My wealth, my statue, my wife, my children, they're all yours. You have permission if you want, you can take them. I can't stop you. They're not mine, they're yours. The emunah that I have in you, That's my life. That's me. That's my life force. Vim came ze ika hamatona shekibalti mimcho. That's the gift you gave me. Visheli lo elam v'i ataroi shekiviyachol lekachta mimeni. You can't kiviyachol take that from me. The imunah that I have in you, that you can't have. Everything else is yours. You can take it, do what you want with it. It's ilok ashur alai. But my imunah, my love for you, that you can't take from me. I think this maisa became, how did this maisa come out? That's a good question. How did we find out about this maisa? This guy didn't go around advertising what he had, you know. Exactly how the maisa came out. I'm not sure how the maisa came out, but we got the maisa. I believe the Chofetz Chaim said this maisa over at the levaya of his son. The Chofetz Chaim had a son who was nifter. Yeah, I don't know why, in the Medeli, I think I remember correctly, the Chofetz Chaim wasn't in town and he got there just as the levaya was finishing, or he just got there just in time for the levaya. I don't know, he wasn't around. And he got up and he told over this maisa, and then he said what he said. Well, I think that's how we got the maisa, but how we found out how this maisa got out. He says it came from the Yotzei Ziknei Svad, the elders of Svad that came out then, had this maisa. Okay. Whether the maisa, yeah, no, whatever, ni lo yodea, aval the message is a message. We have to know what's ours and what a Kosh Bochu Kaviyochel can't take from us. That's what the Yidden said in Saberi. Shabbos is a gift. You told Moshe Rabbeinu, Matane Yoki, I have the special gift that I want to give Klal Yisrael. And that imun in Shabbos, that's our ikemun, that's our netzach nechosim, that's our olam haba. Is there ifshelakach mitanul oidim that you can't take away from us from ever? That's ours. You can't take it. You gave it to us as a present, as we mentioned last week. You give someone a present, you can't ask for it back. That's the nature of a present. I gave it to you. Now it's yours. You can't take it back. So finished. So that's the vault on Shabbos. Shabbos is a matana. It's mine, and that's our connection to reality. That's our connection to Netzach. Without Shabbos, there's no Netzach. Shabbos, as we've seen, the whole theme through here has been that's our connection to eternity, and it's our taste of eternity. Every week we get a little taste of eternity. Okay, so ze sugya kashe halacha lemaisa. In the theory of it, it's ma'od mitromem. It inspires. It's wonderful. In the halacha lemaisa of it, it's the nisoinus. Yeah, they're not poshut, but you have to realize that those nisoinus are very valuable and very precious in Hashem's eyes, and it's ad kedai mesiras nefesh. Because Baruch Hu considers it. And that's the Arizal's pshat in the Mincha there, where we say v'al kedushos choy v'al menuchos yagdishu eshamecha. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, no one's been asked to give up his life today for Shabbos. Aval in the little areas, we have to be aware, we have to recognize and grab those moments, because those moments are more precious. Where a person has this nisoyin, he can say, fine, I'm giving up my life for Shabbos. Okay. Let's step into another very fascinating subject. Yeah, Perek Tes Zayin on Kuf Nun Aleph, and the perek is called Chiluk Zmanim B'Shabbos. Chiluk Zmanim B'Shabbos, the different times that there are on Shabbos. Let's see what this means. Avo Pisha Kedushas Shabbos Bo Teikefim Knisosay. Kedushas Shabbos we know comes is Chal as Shabbos comes in. Vayelam Hafoch LeBeis Migdash. The Mokam Ashur Sashchina, the whole world becomes a Beis Hamikdash. There's Ashur Shchina. Mikol Mokam Limdoini Rabosena Kudmoinim Shein Kol Shos Hashabbos Shoves. Rabosena Kudmoinim have taught us that not all the times on Shabbos are the same. Ela Hashabbos Moisife Vaholeches Mikedusha LeKedusha UMaAliya LaAliya. Starts at the beginning and then it goes up and up and up and up and up and up and more and more and more. So you're getting higher and higher and you're getting more and more Kedusha as the day progresses. By the way, not all the times during the week are the same either. Every moment is a different moment that never will be again. That's built into the system. There's different energies and different things going on in the different times of the day. That's why there's a Shachris and Mincha Maariv. They're not the same. And Shabbos also. Chelke HaShabbos Hem Shloisha. There's three, the Ikaron. There's every moment also, but for the purposes of this discussion, there's three parts to Shabbos. Lel Shabbos Kodesh, the Yom Shabbos, the Minchel Shel Shabbos. Those are the three tekufas of Shabbos. But Shabbos miyuchedes b'zeh sh'sholosh ha'tfilis sh'b'shloishos ha'zmanim ha'niskorim nivdolim toicheneihem zeh mizeh. It's very unusual about Shabbos is that the three tefillahs, their subject, they what they're discussing, the three tefillahs are different. Masha'en kain b'shum yom acher, b'en yom chol, b'en yom kodesh. No other day has that. No other day has that. All the tefillahs are all the same. Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, the tefillahs are all the same. The nusach is the same nusach. Remember, there's important distinction that the days of the week are for sure this world, right? That no one would argue with. Yom Tov is also this world. It's the kedusha in this world. Yom Tov is in this world. Yom Tov is the Yemos HaMashiach. If Olama, if the weekday is Olama Zeh and Shabbos is Olama Ba, what's Yom Tov? So Yom Tov is Yemos HaMashiach. Yemos HaMashiach is in this world, not Olama Ba. So that's Yom Tov. You're in this world. Vina Olama Zeh hu kulut kufa achas b'yemos oilom v'einu mishane etzem huso b'toiche minei ubei mizman lezman. Olama Zeh is Olama Zeh. There's no change in the essence of the day. About it, there's different avoiders that have to be done during the week as well. About the itzim day, doesn't change from time to time. It's the same thing. That's why you have three tefillahs exactly the same. We mentioned as well that the Nefesh HaChaim says that three tefillahs are not the same. There's no two tefillahs that were ever the same. The Shmoneh Esrei, we have the tefillahs that the ancient Knesset Dweller gave us. The Nefesh HaChaim says a nifladika thing there. He says that each tefillah is different, does different things. We know when we daven it does things up there in the higher world. Every person who ever davens is davening a different tefillah to everybody else that ever davened. That's understood. But not only that, but every tefillah is a different tefillah that does different avoida. The tefillah you daven on a Monday morning does what it's supposed to do, and the tefillah you daven on a Tuesday morning is not the same tefillah you davened on a Monday morning because it's doing different things. So in Achinami, in that aspect, it's doing different things, but it's doing it within the essence, within the parameters of what that Zman is. Masha'en ken olam haba, she'enu zman echad shove. Ele yesh bo zmanim mizmanim shonim, kegon ha'elef ha'shvi, va'elef ha'shmini, va'elef ha'tshi. Olam haba has many different tekufas, many different periods. There's the seventh millennium, there's the eighth, the ninth, the tenth millennium. Kenoida etzel gedoila mukubolim, shem zmanim hashonim ze mize legamre. The gedoili mukubolim, whatever that is, they knew and understood that these times were very, very different from each other. The seventh millennium is not the same as the eighth, the ninth, all these all different to kufas in olam haba. We don't know what this means, but those are the words. As kain Shabbos kodesh, shima ein olam haba. Shabbos is ma'ein olam haba. As yesh bo kama sugiyot chalukos shel zmane kodesh ze shone mize betachlis hashinoi. There are different portions and different parts in the zmanim of Shabbos kodesh, microcosms of the big olam haba, and they are different in tachlis. They're completely different in essence. V'aroi levayek ktsat larkenu ulefarit ma'u aseidu shel tosefes. We're trying to understand according to our ability. Obviously, what the Gedolim Mekubalim was saying, we're not going to try and understand. But what we can understand and what he gives us here to understand, Naseh, we're trying to understand. What is this aspect of that Shabbos keeps, the Kedusha keeps growing and it keeps adding? And it's very interesting if you think about it. It's this Muskol Rishon. Okay, which is the most, the holiest part of Shabbos, the most kedusha part of Shabbos, most people tell you Lel Shabbos. Lel Shabbos. Lel Shabbos feels, it's the way the week goes into Shabbos. You go to shul, you're feeling new, you've just put on your new begodim, you come from the mikveh, you know, there's the smell of the food cooking in the house, you've done all the preparations. Oh, you're going to Shabbos. And then you feel the, but mincha shalosh shudos already zeh magish kva lo kol kach. Don't feel that. And it's exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. We'll see, he's going to talk about it. The Kedusha Mincha is k'mo ni'ilah b'yom kippah, you know? And Lel Shabbos is Lel Shabbos, but still, they're not saying it's nothing about yechasi to Mincha. We feel the exact opposite. We're not resonating with this so much. So let's try and see if we can at least just become aware of it. And say, and you know what I'm saying? I think you know, I can see from the smiles that people know what I'm talking about. Friday night, you feel, wow, that's Ma'amod Miyuchad. Shabbos, but by the Cholent already, people already talk. But Mincha, by Shalosh Shudas, it's already Ochen Hazvay. Okay, let's see what he says. We talk Divra Kadmoinim, Bebiu Chiluke Suda Shabbos. From the Divra the Kadmoinim, in the way they discuss, the way the Sudas are Mechalekt, Noichol Lahav in Ktsat, we can understand ktsat, ktsat, understand a little bit. The difference is in the kedusha and the levels of Shabbos, this one above the other one, as the phases develop. Sudas Leil Shabbos nikra sudusa dechakel tapuchin kedishin. Leil Shabbos, the suda is called the suda of the holy apple orchard or whatever. Whatever that means, yeah. The Sudas Yom Shabbos nikra sudose de atika kedisha. The day suda is called the suda of the ancient holy one. The suda shlish is nikra sudose de zer anpin. That's called the suda of the zer anpin. Yeah, whatever the zer anpin is, loyda. Let's get clear. We don't know what you're talking about. These are secrets of the Torah that are hidden from us. You want to learn about it, go find a Mekubal and go learn from him. But in the meantime, since we haven't learned about it, we don't know what that means. He, by the way, was no slouch in Kabbalah. Pinkus was no slouch. He spent many years living in a basement in Ava Shalom, there by Rabbi Yaakov Hillel, the Yadua. That he was sleeping on the floor in a little room that he'd found in the basement of Ava Shalom. And that's where he slept the whole week. And that he learned, that's where he was learning Kabbalah with Rav Hillel. I don't think he was learning the whole day Kabbalah, but he spent many years down in that basement. And when people found him, that people found out that's where he was, people were shocked. They couldn't believe it. He has the Rav of Akim, a Goina Godel. And then he's sleeping on the floor in a basement there in Ava Shalom. The Bochrim were horrified when they found out. Anyway, read about it in his book there. They have this, they bring down his whole histakufa, that tekufa. I knew very well in that tekufa because I was traveling to Yerushalayim that time from Tifrach to Yerushalayim. In those days, there were no buses. It was a hasa'ah that used to go in the morning and come back in the afternoon. That's what there was, one of those GMC 10-seaters. So that tekufa, I was learning Yerushalayim and coming back once or twice a week home, and he was doing the same. So we very often were on that hasa'ah. And while he was traveling on the Nasa, he was writing the Sefer. He was writing the Sefer. He had his little laptop on his lap, and he was busy writing Shabbos Melchos. I'm going back 25 years already. So that was my connection to the Sefer then. So anyway, we didn't know what he was doing. He was going to Yerushalayim. I didn't know. I didn't even really appreciate who he was at the time. I didn't really know who he was. I mean, I knew who he was, but still don't know who he is. But anyway, that was the tekufa then. That when I read that, they brought out an amazing book about him. So it brings down there that they found that's where he was living, in this little damp little room in the basement there in Ava Shalom in Yerushalayim. Anyway, fine. So he had access to this knowledge, and he talks about it very often. And very often you'll see when he talks about it, he speaks about it. He has a Moridika piece. Remind me one day, we should learn it. We should learn it in the 9th edition. Maybe when you finish doing the Sefer we're doing now, we should do it. He has a Moridika piece from the Sefer Yetzirah, which he learns Al Pi Pshat. A Moridika piece on the five levels of avoiding a person in Chinuch. It's basically how to machanach yourself, other people. Just a Moridika chizuk, unbelievable. Remind me, we'll just do that. It'll take a couple of days. We'll go through the sugya. It's Nifla V'Noira. And he does that a lot. He takes a complex, deep, non-understandable Kabbalistic subject, and he mentions it like we did now. And then he says, fine, we can't understand it, but we can, let's try and understand what we can understand that Shaykh to us. And it's usually very, very relevant. These are secrets of the Torah that are for sure hidden from us. These Lashonis we've just mentioned are very well known. They're in every Zmiras, they're in every Sidur. When you open up your Sidur to say Kaddish, it mentions these things. We have all this made its way into our Sidurim, it made its way into our Nuschos. So therefore, since it's there, Pshutam Lakeinu. We can try and understand him a little bit. It's written in our Sidurim. There it is, in the Zmirois we have. So we're trying to understand it a little bit according to Pshat, according to our level. So we should also have some understanding of the ladder of these different levels of Shabbos. Okay, it's understood. We're dealing here with deep secrets of the Torah that we have no musag of. The Heti is allowing himself to talk about it is because everyone talks about it. It's printed in every Siddur, in every Nusach. There it is. So we'll try and understand it according to our level, what we can extract from this. So let's start and see how this goes. Sudos del Shabbos nikra sudosa dechakel tapuchin kedishin. It's the Suda of the holy apple orchard. That's what it is, yeah? We don't eat apples on Lel Shabbos. That doesn't seem to be the minhag. What's it got to do with anything? The explanation of this alpich Kabbalah is much too deep. Deep. Aval, and he always says aval, kefi archeinu, according to our level, chakal tapuchin kedishin hu echad mihashemus vahakinuim shel midas malchuso yisporach. That is what, yeah, you just have to hear the words. Rav Tetzel always used to say to me, if you think you've understood what I've said, you haven't understood anything. If you know you're not understanding, you're in a good place. But if you think you've understood what I'm saying, then for sure you haven't understood. The same thing, yeah, we're trying to understand what we can. Well, he's already told us we're scratching the surface, yeah. Try to understand just the other words first, and then we'll try and work with it a little bit. This concept of Chakal Tapuchin Kadishin is one of the names of Midas Malchus Yisporach. It's one of the names of Midas Malchus. Now, we've discussed Malchus at length here, so let's hold on to what we remember about Malchus, see what this has to do with holy apple orchards. Chakal Hanu Sade. I called it an orchard, because that's where you grow apples. Okay, call it a field. Chakel is a field. Kvayz ba bein in a malchus di hamida shemitzad atzmoi ein la hagdoris toichen veles leimigami klum. Remember that the mida of malchus, the central mida of malchus, is that mida mitzad itself has no real definition and it has nothing of its own. It's les leimigami klum. You remember that? We spoke about that. We met many in the beginning. We discussed that at length. What is Malchus? Malchus is tachlis, is to take from koyach to poil, from potential to actualization, those higher things, those higher midas. Correct? Okay. Ukugon halavona haroimezes ela malchus, the levona, the moon, which is a remez of Malchus. She atzma ein lo or atzmi. The moon has none of its own light. The moon is just a gray blob. Ele motzia leor is or Hashemesh. She reflects. She brings out the light of the sun. V'chein aretz beklalus hu kinoi lemalchus. We mentioned also aretz is also a kinoi of malchus. She atzma gufakur. What's the aretz? It's nothing. It's a blob of sand. It's nothing. It's ugly. The aret brings to light the shefa that's coming from Shemaim. Mia Shemaim, you read a sabrocha. From Shemaim comes down the brocha, the ponosa, chaim v'briyut. Aveim lo tiye v'metzias eretz, shedorim bo bnei adam. You have all the shefa coming from Shemaim. But if you didn't have an aret where people could live, ech yoytze abrochas lepoil. How would those brochas ever get actualized? They would just stay theoretical manifestations. They need somewhere to be poiled. Therefore, the Eretz is called Malchus because it gives expression to these higher forces. Without it, nothing would happen. But in and of itself has nothing. The field also is a kinu for Malchus. What is the field? It's a piece of sand, piece of ground. What does the ground do? It's got nothing of its own. What does it do? It takes the seeds that you planted there and gives them expression. It brings them out. It enables their growth. You didn't have the aret, you didn't have a sode, you'd have nowhere to plant your precious seeds. So the field itself is nothing. but it takes the koyach of the seed and brings it into actualization. Clear? This rings a bell. We went into this at length a few years ago. We've been on the road a long time. You can forget about this. I will say anakuda. Well, given Shabbos Kodesh Yom Shvi Midas Malchus Shemayim, we know that Shabbos is by now. You should know that Shabbos is Midas Shvi, which is Malchus Shemayim. Shebo Shoyra Shchina. That's where the Shchina flows into. Hanishi Yichudoy Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yoytzu Mizgale Mikoyach El Hapoel. That oneness of Hashem is expressed dafka on Shabbos, goes from koyach to poil. Ulechein Shabbos nikra sode. So Shabbos is called a field. She nizra b'soichem zroim shel yichud Hashem. What are you planting in this field called Shabbos? Seeds of yichud Hashem. In a normal field, what do? You plant a seed of apples. Yeah, and then the field brings forth apple trees. That's koyach to poil. What's Shabbos? It's a field. What do you plant in Shabbos? Seeds of Kedushas Hashem. Yichud Hashem. So Shabbos brings forth from Koyach to Poel, Yichud Hashem. Vashabbos Magadeles, Peirus Kedoshim, Chakal Tapuchim Kedishin. And Shabbos grows these holy fruits, because Shabbos is a field. You take seeds of Yichud Hashem, you plant them on Shabbos, and it grows forth chakel, tapuchim, kedishin, holy apples. What are apples? I don't know, we'll see. Well, that's the chakel, that's what a field is. Got it? Nifla. Vamoshel shel tapuchin, haperus, so what's going to be apples? Have an apricot field, have a chvesnish, have a watermelon field, and watermelons don't grow on trees. Okay, beseder, whatever. Why apples? Shere ikah ha'chayim ativim teluim ba'achila v'shtia. The ikah life in this world, the natural life, is dependent on food and drink. Without food and drink, your neshama can't stay connected to your guf. The glue that keeps the neshama connected to the guf is food and water. That's why if you don't get food and water, the neshama leaves the guf. That's what we call death. Ha'maychel hi ha'mei v'chayim tivim ba'odem gashmiut. Food brings life, natural life, to the physical aspect of this human. V'gam beruchnis yesh macholim hamachnisim madreges shel kedusha u'psichas ha'seichel v'alev. There's also spiritual food. There's food that has impact not on the guf, but on the ruchnistic aspect. It opens up the seichel, it opens up the mind. There's food that does that. Kagon hamon. Mon is food, agreed? That mon, when you ate it, it raised your levels of kedusha. It's food, and it keeps the neshama connected to the guf physically, yes, but it also has the spiritual dimension. Or be'er shel Miriam, that's this week's parsha, Miriam's be'er. Shashoisim emene niftach liboy b'toyre v'lo yishkach klumi ma shel amud. Can you imagine getting hold of that? Whatever you learn goes in and you never forget it. That was Be Miriam. That was the koich of Be Miriam. It was a ruchtike koiches coming from Achille Vashtia. Kein Shabbos Kodesh Yisode Shebo Godlim Peires Kedoshim. Shabbos is a field where you're raising very, very holy fruits. Shekola mistapek mehem umachnis el kir boi paraseya shel Shabbos Kedusha. So yichnosu legufo brias. Whoever has access to them, uses them, and puts them into his self, these payers of Shabbos and Kedusha. So what goes into his goof? He gets health, he gets koyach, he gets gashmias. And his mind and heart to Torah and dveikus to Hashem are opened up as well. That means the food we eat on Shabbos, for sure, it's food. Because it's gashmistic aspect. But the food we eat on Shabbos is much greater than just the food. It's like the mon that we eat. The doim el mon. We want remozim of mon. We see the day we do shnei lechem and we cover it and we do it mamash like the mon to remind ourselves that you're eating food here that doesn't just take care of the goof. It does that as well, and you have to enjoy it. We learned that. You're supposed to enjoy it. But at the same time, it's doing something else. It's creating this ruchnias dika opportunity for an expanded consciousness, for more dvekas, for more Torah and more understanding of Torah. Okay, there's another paragraph here. Mitzvah Shem, we'll summarize this. We'll pick it up next week. Well, it's later yet. I don't want to There's another long paragraph here before we finish the lecture, but that dvarim nifloim, and Mitzvah Hashem will pick them up and we'll work them. We just started plowing, you know. Before you plant the seeds, you have to plow. We just started plowing here, but that's dvarim dovashen nifloim. That the gashmis duka food we eat has this, the same as the matzah. You eat matzah on Pesach. What is matzah? It's a piece of bread and water, and you have to make sure there's no chometz. But said, once you've done that, what's these livers? Get the gedolei olam must miss lav over that kazais of matzah, and you didn't get their lives for that kazais of matzah. Why? Chasei matzah in the world. It's got some special qualities. No, because it's lechem of imuna. When you eat that, you're drilling into your kishkas imuna. It has that spiritual aspect. That's the concept of a chila in Yiddishkeit. Is there's foods that we eat that are just taking care of the goof, but there's foods that we eat that take care of the higher faculties as well. And that's the achil on Shabbos. It has this higher aspect. So that's what's called the sodeh, which is the field where you plant your seeds of imunah, of kedusha, and that springs forth, and it's via the achila, via the peiros. Okay, that we have to obviously let that sink, let the words go in. We'll pick it up and work with it. Dvarim nifloim ma'od.
Okay. Shkoyach, good Shabbos.
You'll eat this week differently to the way you've been eating before.
Okay, Shkoyach.
Guten Shabbos, a good night of Shabbos.
Okay, good night.